Let us continue to pray. We have seen the testimonies, how the Lord has ministered to many of us. And today the Lord has more in store for us. Commit yourself into the hands of God. Do not be like the multitude that will come before God and leave the same way they came. Hannah was purposeful about what she wanted from the Lord as she appeared before God. Also, we see that Jabez knew exactly what he wanted from the Lord. When the Lord asked Solomon for what Solomon would want the Lord to do, he was specific. He wanted wisdom. And much more than that, the Lord added to him. Pray and commit yourself into the hands of God. In the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. Those things that you want the Lord to help you deal with, you are before him. This is revival service. Ask God to revive you. We're coming to the end of this year. If Jesus tarries, we will all be going into this new year. But you can't go into the new year with all the lackadaisical attitude. You can't go with all the lukewarmness. Therefore, pray and tell the Lord to stir you up this evening. There are to prepare. If Jesus tarries, with all that we are going to do toward the end of the year, that the Lord would make you a better person, a better Christian, draw you closer to him. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the great testimonies we have had. We also want to thank you for the gift of life and the privilege once again to study at your feet. As you will speak to us now, we are asking that as it were, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, the Bible said, they speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. We pray that, Lord, as every one of them had messages that appealed and appeared, I mean, important to them, Father, I pray you will speak to us yourself in Jesus' name. Minister to every heart now. And the authority and power you have given to us as your children, you would help us that it becomes more effective and active in our life after you speak to us even this evening in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Brethren, you're welcome to today's revival service. I see that our time has gone, but we will see what we can do. The topic of our discussion this evening is the believer's power and authority. The believer's power and authority. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Put there a word, as many as receive him, which means as many who believe in God, as many who have become Christian. The Bible said to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And what it means is that it's not just that you are saved, but he has given us power, everyone that believes. To them gave he power to become the sons, the daughters of God. And when you become the son of God, there is power, there is authority. And even to them that believe in his name. Matthew chapter 10, let's look at verse 1. If you see it before me, you can read. But I will read from here, verse 1. And when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit. Now, this is a little bit more detailed. He gave them power. And here is giving a better description of what that power is meant for. Against unclean spirit, to cast out, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. That is one aspect of the power that the Lord gave to us as believers. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. This is also Jesus speaking in verse 17. And these signs shall surely follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. This is another dimension of the power that is given to us as believers. In verse 12 of John chapter 1, we read, the Bible talked about to them gave the power. But what kind of power? We have seen the two different dimensions. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 again, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpent and scorpion, and over all powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So it's not just power to cast out the devil. It's not just power to heal the sick. It's not just power, you know, in a restricted field. But he said nothing. In this particular aspect, he said power over all the powers of the enemy, which means everything that you consider to be against the plan and purpose of God in your life, you already have the power over that. That's why the Bible says power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, which means without exception, nothing on this earth shall by any means hurt you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 16. Please, this is revival service. Let's open our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 4, and read verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirits, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Before even those harm or those imaginations of the enemy come, the word of God already has an answer. In verse 16, the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Now, if you look at the passages we have read, it's talking about widely the scope and the extent of the privilege to have by virtue of the fact we have become the children of God by accepting our Lord Jesus. So according to Cambridge Dictionary, power here, as it's been said, is that is given to us simply means ability to control people and event. And in the context of what we have just read, as many as believe him, to them gave he power. It means that we have been given the ability to control every evil force, every negativity, and everything that is contrary to the will of God in our life. And authority, on the other hand, according to the same Cambridge Dictionary, simply means the moral or the legal right, the moral right or the legal right or ability to control. It means that because we have become part of the kingdom and family of God, we have this right given to us. So the authority of the believer, as we saw in this passage we just read in the book of Hebrews, comes primarily from God himself and from his word, as we saw in verse 12 of where we just read. And secondly, the authority of a believer, therefore, rests principally on the believer's relationship with God, which means that we retain that authority, we retain that right, that moral or legal right, as long as our relationship with God persists. But the moment you drop out or you backslide or leave the service or the presence of God, you lose that privilege. And also, we see also that that authority continues as long as we carry on the mandate that the Lord himself has given unto us. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I think it's a very common passage that we all know. If my people, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible said, if my people, if the believers, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is in a situation where, for example, this relationship is lost. Then the Bible is letting us know here that if at that point you realize your mistake and you're able to humble yourself and come back to God again, God said that right you had previously can be restored. Of course, that is not encouraging us to, you know, deliberately drop out from the presence and service of God, as we have seen already in John chapter 1, verse 12. So it's very obvious that our authority, or the authority we have before God, which comes from God and through his word, is dependent on our relationship with God. And if you look at the case of Moses, for example, And also look at the case of Joshua. You will see that the believer's authority, this authority we are talking about, comes with great power and it comes with great privilege. If you look at Moses, for example, you realize that after God used him to take to force the hand of Pharaoh to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. In fact, at some point, the Lord made him to use his staff to, you know, do some miracles that the magicians tried to counter. However, like many of us today, when they left that scene and Moses was confronted together with the children of Israel, they were confronted with the Red Sea. Moses became confused. He didn't realize the fact that he had something that the Lord, he had authority, he had the staff that God have used in the past to perform miracle until the Lord reminded him. So this evening, the Lord is bringing it back to our mind and is trying to remind us that, of course, some of us know this before, but he's trying to remind us, like he did with Moses, that this authority we have comes with great power. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6a. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6a. You will see in Hosea chapter 4, I read from here, verse 6. At the first part of
chapter 4, verse 6, the first part of it, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
I just want to stop there. A lot of times we understand that as believers, we are in the kingdom of God, we have rights, but sometimes we do not expressly and completely utilize all the privileges and rights that we have. Let's look at Joel chapter 2. Verse 28 to 32. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And that is talking about today already. Many of us do not understand. Look at verse 30. And he said, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, it shall come to pass that among my children, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. This is telling us that already, as we all agree and we all know, we're already in the last days. And this is the period the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit, and there will be wonders, both in heaven and on earth. Talking about the privilege and power we have as believers before God. But if you look at Acts chapter 8, Jesus also mentioned this thing to his disciples again. He said, but you shall receive power. But that power comes after that the Holy Spirit and after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And we saw it on the day of Pentecost. It's written and it became manifest when that power came, that great things was done in their life. The Bible said that promise that Jesus made was not limited to the disciples alone. It's for us today. It's for you and I. But like in their case, there was something they needed to do in order to receive that power. He said, but tarry ye, wait upon the Lord. Wait in Jerusalem. Remain there. And in our time today, the Lord is bringing to our mind that this power, these privileges are still present. But there are things we need to do. Apart from having the knowledge, there are some aspects or actions that we need to take. And I pray that at the end of this message, the Lord will help you to realize the potential the Lord has deposited in you. And as you wait upon him, the Lord will give you the grace to utilize the authority and power the Lord has given to you in Jesus' name. According to Stumney Omartian, there is only one power in the world great enough to help us rise above the difficulties that we face. And that power is the power of God. Before we pray this evening, we'll look at this discussion under two subheadings. Subheading number one, I want us to look at the dimensions of believers' power and authority. This power that the Lord has given unto us
It's not confined to one area of our life. It's not limited. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. Please, if you see it, you can help me to read. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Amen.
Amen. There is exceeding greatness of God's power to us world. And that power is not meant, you know, in science, in physics. They talk about the inertia power, which is meant to keep an object steady. But this power the Lord is talking about here, the riches of our inheritance, the power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, is meant to be a dynamite. It's meant to be power that we are supposed to use for operation. And there are different dimensions. Number one, we see that the word of God is our greatest weapon and the greatest source of power and authority to us as believers. And what this means is that it is important for us to understand it. You cannot operate in the realm or use the power that you do not understand how it's supposed to be used. So number one is one, the first dimension, as the Bible said there, as many as believe him, to them gave he power. Number one thing there is the power for us to have good understanding of the word in order to be able to take possession of what rightfully belongs to us. Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verse 17. The word of God is powerful. It's a great weapon as believer. It's a source of power, a source of authority. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword, because the word of God is a sword. When the enemy came, look at our Lord Jesus, when he faced temptation and the devil came to him and the devil, you know, misquoted the scriptures and tried to turn it upside down. The Lord replied him with the word of God, trying to let him understand. So number one thing is that the Bible said the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then another thing we see is that the believer's power and authority affects all areas of our life. We see a lot of people today, you know, you find yourself in certain situations, you feel well. Some people will tell you it's not everything. You begin to call God. I was listening to one particular person who said he's a minister the other day, and he was saying that someone was sick and all the wife could do was to pray. He said, I started calling Jesus, I started praying, and that person said, at that point in time, you don't need Jesus. No, the believer's power and authority affects every area of our life. Then the believer's authority includes, first and foremost, the right to be called a child of God. The problem some of us have today, as we saw in the book of John chapter 1, verse 12, we have read, is that there are so many believers today who don't want to be identified. First of all, you want to be identified with all the titles you have, maybe because of academics, maybe because of where you work, but you don't want to be identified as a Christian. No, that is the first title we have, and that is part of our authority, the believer's authority, the right to be called a child of God. You must always remember that. Because if you look at when God spoke to Satan concerning Job, he said, have you seen my servant Job? And Job in return knew. And if you look at his utterances, he comported himself as a child of God. So the first thing is that the believer's authority, number one, includes the right to be called a child of God. Then there is the believer's authority to share the gospel. I know many of us will be surprised that I'm bringing this up. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. The Lord said, I give unto you power. He said, behold, I give unto you power. What was that power supposed to be? He said, the power he gives to us is to go out and share the gospel. What this means is that it's part of our duty. It's part of our assignment. And when you are going, you must understand that you are not standing there on your own, but rather you are representing God, because you have been given, just like the lawyers, to say, give me a power of attorney. And Jesus said in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He first of all made them realize, I have all the power. Sorry. And on the basis of this power that I have, which has been given to me in heaven and on earth, in verse 19, he said, therefore, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So in terms of reaching out to people, preaching the gospel, you must understand that you have that authority, and that has been given to us by Christ. So you are going on behalf of that power. Titus chapter 2, I read verse 15. The Bible said, these things speak and exalt and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. That tells you that one of the believers' authority is in sharing the gospel. And that means to say that for those of us who probably feel that Jesus just commanded, and then you don't, when you go, sometimes you feel it depends on your ability. You must realize that you don't only exercise the power you have as a believer only when you are looking for something from God or when you have to bind the devil, but you have authority to share the gospel. So you share according to God's mandate and authority that have been given to us. Then the next is that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we saw in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the Bible said that in the latter days, you know, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall see vision. Acts chapter 2 verse 17, we will not be reading, but the Bible talked about the fact that God said in that place that it will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a right that we have as children of God for effectiveness in ministry. If you are going to be effective in ministry, the Bible says in that place, and it shall come to pass that in the last day, said the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So it is the gift of the Holy Spirit is the right and authority of the believer. It's another dimension of our authority. Then we see also the confidence and authority that come from serving the Lord and one another. A lot of time, the reason most of us today complain is because we have not realized the fact that serving the Lord, serving one another, especially in fellowship like this, is part of what the Lord has given to us. It's another dimension of the believer's authority and power. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. One other dimension, that is why you must not see the work of God to be too cumbersome, because it is another dimension of the authority that the Lord has given us. If any man speak, he said, let him speak as the oracle of God. You don't go there, you don't serve and see it that it is your own thing. You are not serving the brethren and see it as your own thing. The Lord has given us authority to do so. And he said, if any man minister, let him also do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, praise, and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the confidence with which you minister, which means that when you have the opportunity, it doesn't matter at what capacity, it doesn't matter whether it's choruses, it doesn't matter whether it's praise and worship, it doesn't matter whether it's just prayer. You must understand as a believer that God has given you the authority to go. All you need to do is to depend upon him. Then the authority also we have is to approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16. Most of us today, when we come before God, we are not so sure what we want and how to go about it. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you are not a child of God, that's why when you lift up your face to pray, you find out that the devil will keep on accusing you. But the moment you know that your life is sure, your relationship with God is intact, one of the dimension of authority you have is the boldness to demand and to ask for God from God. Also, we see that we have the power to speak things into existence. Job chapter 22, verse 28. The boldness, the power to speak things into existence. We have seen from some of the testimonies we had this evening how some things were happening and there was uncertainty. Prayers were made and the prayers were answered. As a believer, another dimension of the power that God has given to us is to speak things into existence. You cannot enter into the new year still hiding and holding back. You must understand. The Bible says in verse 22, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. And Job chapter 22, verse 8. He said,
thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the lights
shall shine upon thy way. You have to brace up, begin to say positive things, because the Lord said the power to decree a thing, and thou shalt decree a thing. As long as you have that relationship with God, the Bible said, and it shall be established unto you. It is the Lord giving you this privilege. Another thing we see is that another dimension of the believer's power is power to possess our land and succeed in life. Like our brother who shared testimony said, he said, wherever that he remembered the scripture saying that wherever the sole of our feet shall tread upon shall be given unto us for inheritance. You have to understand that you have been given the power to possess the land where you are. Wherever you step your foot into, it doesn't matter what others have experienced in the past. Joshua chapter 1, I read verse 3. The Bible said, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Yes, this statement was made directly to Joshua, but by extension, the Lord is saying the same thing to us today. You may have been in Finland and have seen people telling you how difficult it is, telling you you have to do this, you have to do that. The Bible is saying here, every place, the sole of your feet. So you must understand that the Lord already has given you that right. Perhaps because you have not realized you have that privilege, you have not been able to pray through. Then again, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, in chapter 8, verse 18, what did the Bible say there? The Bible said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. The Lord already has made the covenant with our fathers that wherever the sole of our feet shall tread upon, he will give to us, and that he will bless the works of our hands. So you must understand that this is another dimension, that the power the believer has is power to succeed in whatever you set your heart to do. Again, we also have the power for signs and for wonders. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. Of course, we have read that place already where Jesus said that these signs shall surely follow them. So it is a privilege that the Lord had given to us, that wherever we go, that you must remember that the Lord already has given you this privilege. Mark chapter 16, I read from verse 17. And this sign shall surely follow them who on my name believe, as many as believe, as a believer. The Bible said we have been given the power for signs, the power for wonders. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Let's look at John chapter 14. I read verse 12. In verse 12 of John chapter 14, the Bible said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. This is Jesus speaking. And greater work than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. The baton has been handed over to you and I. There is nothing that is impossible with Christ. He did miracle. The Bible said he went about everywhere, healing those that were diseased and those that were oppressed. And by extension, from what he said here, he said, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth in me, if you actually believe in the Lord, if you actually trust the Lord Jesus, he's telling us today that greater work, those miracles he did, those difficulties that he rolled away, we have been given the right and the power to do so. We also see that we have power to pursue and resist and put Satan to flight. James chapter 4, verse 7. We have the power to put Satan to shame, to flight and to resist him. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Lord did not say resist the devil. Maybe it's certain if you resist the devil because of the power that the Lord has given to you already. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you, because the devil recognizes that inner power. He recognizes that potential that the Lord has deposited in us. Ephesians chapter 4, I read verse 27. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. Simply because if you resist him, so what the Lord is saying here, I mean, the dimensions are quite many. I just speak this few, just to draw our attention to the fact that there is no aspect of our life that the Lord has not given us power
and authority. But now that we have seen the dimensions, what are we expected to do? What are we supposed to do to fully benefit and enjoy this great opportunity and privilege the Lord has given to us? Let's look at our second subheading, the exercise of believers' power and authority. I just read Mark chapter 16, but in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I believe it should be a common passage for all of us. The Bible said, "Behold, I give unto you power." Let's look at that, please. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "Behold, I give unto you power." Power to do what? He said, power to tread on serpent and scorpion and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, it is one thing for us to have this promise. It is one thing for the Lord to say, "I give you this." It's just like a parent. Sometimes you have food. You have left food in the kitchen for a child and even pass a message across. It is another thing for that child to take the necessary step to go and take that food from where it is and eat the food. It is one thing. The child can even come back and if, despite the message the child has, if the child decides not to do what he has been asked to do, that food will be there while the child is hungry. Today, for us to exercise this power and authority that God has given to us, there are certain things we must do. Of course, it's not limited to this, but I'm going to highlight a few as believers. There are things we must do. Number one is consistent work with God. Like I said, chapter 8, let's look at verse 31 to 32. You have to make up your mind that you are going to consistently work with God, irrespective of the challenge that comes your way. We saw the case of Job, that even when things were difficult, he remained steadfast. Consistent work with God is the first condition. John chapter 8, I read verse 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus to the Jews, we believe on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciple indeed." So you can see it's very important. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you continue. So number one thing is consistent work with God. Not that today you are a Christian, tomorrow you are struggling. And pastor, you know, the only challenge I have is that I find it difficult to know. And then you must always put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Anybody that sees it, please help us to read. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. "Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the
Amen. Thank you so much. So you see here, you have to always remember to put on the whole armor of God. Then the next thing is ask according to the knowledge from God's word. You know, I know that in this part of the world and in the society we all live in, everybody is so busy combining work, study, family, and sometimes you struggle to find time to ingest and to meditate on the word of God. You cannot be able to get it right if you do not have sufficient knowledge from the word of God of what the Lord has in store and how best to make your request known to him. In James chapter 4, the Bible said that we should ask appropriately. So it is important that when you make your request, you ask based according to the knowledge of the word of God. James chapter 4, verse 3. "He ask and receive not, because he ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." So when you ask wrongly, there is no chance you are going to get anything from God. It is important that when you make your request, you don't just go toes here and there because of what people are saying. You must ask according to the word of God. 2 Kings chapter 6, we are going to read verse 15 to 17. The Bible said, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?'" You know, He made this comment because he was ignorant. He made this comment because he didn't understand the provision or even the benefit. He is enjoying the benefit of God's protection, but he was not aware. That's why it's important for us as believers, if you study the word of God, if you have enough sufficient knowledge of what the Lord has in store for you, your asking and your prayer will be properly guided. In verse 16, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Elisha answered this question here, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Immediately he saw, his eyes was opened. He became confident. He was no longer afraid. Many of us today are afraid simply because we are ignorant of the promises. We are ignorant of what the Lord has in store for us. So if you are going to enjoy and exercise this power as a believer, you don't just limit yourself to the fact that, well, I'm born again, I'm saved, but in terms of the word of God, you feel it's the pastors who need to go and study more. No, it is for every one of us. Because if your eyes is open, like the servant of Elisha here, he was able to see that, you know, God has already made provision for the enemies that will come to them before they came. And then another thing is submitting to the will of God in humility. We already have read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If those who are called by my name will humble themselves. So there is need for humility. And that humility goes with obedience to the word of God. You don't do so many times a lot of people want to do things their own way. You have to allow God to have his way. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. I read, the Bible said, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's not about your strength. You have to understand that whatever it is that you are, whatever success you have achieved, it has nothing to do with your personal ability. You have to give God the glory due him, because our God is a jealous God. He cannot share his glory with any man. So you must walk and submit totally to the will of God and ascribe your success, I mean, whatever you have achieved to him. Then you must walk on your faith and do not doubt. If you look at the case of Thomas, Thomas insisted, "Unless I see evidence." Let's look at John chapter 20. "Unless I see evidence, Lord, I will not believe." Even when it's obvious, the Lord has risen. So many of us, the problem we have, the reason we can't exercise this authority is that we don't have confidence. Our faith is still small. John chapter 20, verse 28 to 29. "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe." You need to work on your faith. You need to believe. They move down this year as it's coming to an end. If you are going to enjoy all that the Lord has in store, if you are going to express this power, you must come to God in faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Then another thing is, give yourself to prayer and fasting. I'm not going to be reading, but Mark chapter 9, verse 29 was when the disciples of our Lord Jesus, you remember before this time, Christ told them that as they were going, he has empowered them to go and preach. And they even went out. Some of them went out and they preached the gospel. These same people went out. They came back and said, even demons were subject unto us. But you realize that there was a particular case they could not handle. These same people could not handle. And when they came to Jesus, they said, "Why can't we do it?" And Jesus said, "This kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting." What does that highlight? Yes, it's important to pray, but beyond praying, you also need to know that you don't have to wait until when the church alone is organizing it. Fasting is a spiritual exercise. You see people every day, they say they want to keep fit, they are running. As a believer, if you are going to enjoy and exercise the power and authority that God has already vested in you, you need to do this. Jesus said in verse 29, and he said unto them, "This kind comfort by nothing, but by prayer and by fasting. The Lord is telling us today, you need to cultivate the habit. If we are to take a Sunday now, so many of us, you can't even remember when last you waited on the Lord. But you can do exercise. You can go to the gym. You can run. You can do other things to keep fit. You don't know that in the spiritual realm, you need to also keep fit. If you are going to exercise this power, you need to ask God to give you the grace to create that time, to wait on the Lord in the place of prayer. Then we must also realize the spiritual implication of everything that is going on in our everyday life. For some of us, you know, in this part of the world, when it comes to, for example, marriage, as a couple, as a person, you don't see the hand of God. You believe, well, it doesn't matter. When we come back home, we leave it there. We leave some things at the church. You have to understand that every aspect of your life, God is watching. There is none that is taken apart. And if you are going to exercise and enjoy this power, every aspect of your life, every detail of your life, in every sphere of your life, you must realize that everything going on has spiritual implication. The devil will not come to you. You may not go into immorality. You may not outrightly tell a lie. These are obvious sins and obvious distractions, but you must realize that every little thing in your life, the Lord is interested in it. And we must also understand that we must use our God-given power and authority to deal with every aspect of our life. Nothing is too little. You know, there is this theory in biology. They said the appendicitis is not growing because it's not always being used. And there is this theory of the aspect of your body, the part of your body that you use is the part that grows. And what that means is that when you learn to bring God into everything that concerns your life, when you learn to understand the spiritual implication of every aspect of your life, it becomes a habit and it helps you to grow. And that way you are able to enjoy all that the Lord has in store for you with regards to believers' power and authority. Before we pray, I want to mention that your willingness to engage in battle, your unwillingness, your inability, your reluctance to engage in a battle does not mean that that battle is not taking place. It doesn't mean that the devil is sparing you. It only means you have given up and you are going to lose. The question I want to ask you this evening is, the Lord has given you so much power. The Lord has given you so much authority. Why are you still being defeated? Don't you think it's because you have not done enough? Don't you think it's because you are sleeping? Moses, when he saw the Red Sea, he forgot all the 10 plagues in Egypt. He forgot everything. I mean, the staff in his hand. Of course, he cried unto God again. And the Lord asked him, what is that thing in your hand? The same staff you used before. The Lord has told us already, we have it. We are not going to be waiting like Moses for God to remind us. The Lord has given us all the power. Behold, I give unto you power. Let's rise up as we go to God in prayer. The question this evening is, as a Christian, as a believer, how much of this power have you been able to utilize to your benefit? It is there. The Lord has given it to us. Jesus says, if you believe in me, if you have faith like the grain of mustard seed, he said, you shall say to this mountain, it's already given. You don't need to do anything anymore other than to ask. You don't need to do anything anymore other than to make sure your life is right with God. You don't need to do anything anymore other than to submit to his will. The question I'm asking you today is, you have this authority, you have this potential. Why are you still crying? Why are you still in pain? Like I've told you earlier, that particular quote says that the only power, the power of God is able to take care of all the challenges you are going through in life at the moment. The only thing you need to do is to realize the fact that the Lord has given you all the weapon. It's just like someone who is in the bush. You need to cut a tree. There's a knife in your hand, but you don't know how to use it. That is the case of many of us. The Lord as by virtue of the fact, the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power. As many as believe him, to them gave thee power. Are you a Christian? The Lord has given you that power. Are you a Christian? The Lord said, I've given you that power. And that power comes in different dimensions. It comes in so many dimensions. Why not open your mouth this evening and tell the Lord to reawaken you, give you the grace to discover, you know, those weaknesses and things you have neglected that is not allowing you to expressly use that power, because the Bible said, and you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. You shall speak into existence the things that be not. The Bible said we shall be able to speak it into existence. Why not open your mouth this evening and commit yourself into the hands of God? Tell the Lord to help you. Tell the Lord to support you. Tell the Lord, maybe you know your weakness already. The fact that you are not able to focus, the fact that you do not have sufficient understanding of the privileges and powers you have before God, why not open your mouth this evening and pray? Pastor, please, you can take over.
Let's begin to, let's continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's tell the Lord this power and authority the Lord will give unto us. Pray and talk to the Almighty God that the Lord will awaken us. The Lord will awaken us. Talk to God, the Lord will awaken you. The pastor told us that that authority has been given to us. Let's pray and call upon God. Oh Lord, awaken me to the consciousness of the fact that I have power and I have authority. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord God, awake me in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, wake me up in the name of Jesus. Pray and talk to the Almighty God that the Lord will wake you up. The Lord will wake you up to realize those great things the Lord has deposited in you as a New Testament believer. Behold, I give unto you power. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord will wake you up. The Lord will wake us up in the name of Jesus. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord God, we pray for our awakening. We pray for an awakening, O God. Awaken us, O Lord, to realize the things you have given to us. To realize the power and the authority, O God, you have given to us. In the name of Jesus, awaken us to use that authority. We've been told today that our willingness to engage in battle does not mean that the battle is not raging. It just means that if we fail to engage in it, we are going to lose. But brother and sister, we are not going to lose. Where we have been losing in the past, the Lord has awakened us. We will exercise our power and our authority in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray and talk to the Almighty God. Pray and talk to the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. We are going to pray. We've been told today, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We've been told today, for you to receive, you must first receive. For you to receive power and authority, you must first receive him. And the question today is that, have you received him? The giver of power, which is Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you have not known Jesus, you have not given your heart to him, you have not given your life to him, you have not confessed your sin to him, you have not repented and turned away from those sins, call upon the name of the Almighty God that I receive Jesus today. The Bible says, as many, you know, it's not limited, the power is not limited to pastors, it's not limited to leaders, it's not limited to apostles or church founders, but the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave him power to become sons of God. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you have not received Jesus, tell the Lord, oh God, I come unto you today. Jesus, come into my heart. If there's any sin that is replacing Christ in your life, confess those sins and receive Jesus. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Talk to the Lord. If you have received Christ, but you know your faith is dwindling, you are losing the Christ you have received, and as you are losing power and authority, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord God, I rededicate my life unto you in the name of Jesus, because as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. You must receive to receive. You must receive Christ to receive power. You must receive Christ to receive authority. You must receive Jesus to receive the power, the giver and the authority in his name. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's talk to the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Where you have Christ Christ before, but you have lost him. You have rejected him. You have renounced him. You have betrayed him. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I come back to you in the name of Jesus. Let's present ourselves before the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, is there any sin that could hinder you from exercising the authority, that could hinder you not to have the confidence to exercise the authority and power, that could hinder you, you know, from having that confidence to use his name? Pray and confess that sin to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy, forgive me of this sin, whatever sin it is, maybe unforgiveness, anything, whatever it is that is making you to lose confidence when you go to the place of prayer, and it's like the assurance is not there, and the prayer is too shallow, and the prayer is so cold, and then you lack, you know, you are not even sure if the prayer will be answered, because everything is so cold within, because a lot of things to settle. Pray and settle those things now, and tell the Lord, oh God, I confess every shortcomings, every mistakes, every errors, whatever name you call it. Oh Lord God, have mercy on me, forgive me, wash me by the blood of Jesus, cleanse me and purge me by your blood, in the name of Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. Brethren, tonight we are going to exercise our authority, the power and the authority that the Lord has given to believers. We are nothing must hinder us, nothing should hinder us from exercising the authority. Hence, you want to call upon the name of the Lord. Every hindrance to exercising authority, all the guilt, all the unrighteousness, all the uncleanness, all the unconfessed sins, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. In the name of Jesus, oh God, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Pray and talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, make sure you settle that aspect, because tonight we are going to exercise authority. We are going to engage the enemy in battle. We are not going to sit back. All those things that are challenging our life, those things that are putting us to cry, those things that are making us, you know, to wipe away tears all the time, those things that pain us, we're engaging the enemy tonight. We are calling upon the name of the Lord. We're exercising that authority, and the enemy must pack and go. Therefore, brethren, whatever could hinder you, any sin, any unrighteousness, any uncleanness, or maybe you are not born again, receive Christ today and talk to the Lord. Father, we come before you today. All shortcomings, all unrighteousness, all doubt, all faith, lessness, lack of humility, oh Lord God, have mercy upon us. Purge us by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. All ignorance we've been taught today, my people perish because they lack knowledge. Oh Lord, all the ignorance, oh God, of the authority and power that you have given to us, and because we are ignorant of those things you have given to us, we do not pray. With the challenges are there, we don't pray about it. The sicknesses are there, we are not praying about it. The problems are there, we are not praying about it, and they are overcoming us. Oh God, we come before you today. Forgive us of all our ignorance, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed, amen. We've also been taught that to exercise its authority, we need to continue in his word, in the word of Christ. We need to be consistent, and we need to put on the whole armor of God. We are going to pray that the Lord will strengthen our faith. The Lord will strengthen our walk with him. Pray for yourself. Oh Lord, strengthen my walk with you. Strengthen my faith in you. Strengthen my walk with you. Strengthen my faith in you. In the name of Jesus, all the zigzag Christian life, up today, down tomorrow, sin today, confess tomorrow, and everything is muddled up and messed up. Oh Lord God, we pray that you will strengthen us and give us, oh Lord, the grace to live consistent Christian life. In the name of Jesus, pray for that strength, the strength to live a consistent Christian life, to walk with the Lord consistently. Let's pray the Lord will give unto us. Father, we are praying tonight. We want to have authority. We want to have power. We don't want to have it momentarily. We want to have it permanently. Lord Jesus, we are praying that you will strengthen us spiritually. In the name of Jesus, all the previous, oh Lord, zigzag walk with you, Lord, we pray you will order our step, order our Christian life. Oh Lord, make us to walk consistently with you, in the name of Jesus. All the areas of weaknesses, Lord, we receive your strength, in the name of Jesus. The grace, oh God, to continue to walk with you consistently, we pray you give unto us, in the name of Jesus. The grace to put on the whole armor of God, oh Lord, the element of salvation, Lord God, we pray you will give us that grace to put it on, in the name of Jesus. That sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Lord Jesus, give us the grace to put that on, in the name of Jesus. The shield of faith, Lord, give us the grace to put it on, in the name of Jesus. The faith shot of the preparation of the gospel of peace, give us
the grace to put it on in the name of Jesus. Well, let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will strengthen me. The Lord will strengthen us to put on all the armor of the Christian in the name of Jesus. Oh God, strengthen me by your power, strengthen me by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Strengthen me, oh God. Give me or increase my knowledge in your word, my knowledge in you. Lord, increase my knowledge in you in the name of Jesus. My knowledge in your word, increase in the name of Jesus. My knowledge, oh God, in the authority that you have given to the believers. Lord Jesus, increase that knowledge in the name of Jesus. Increase my faith, increase my faith. We've been told today we must come to God in faith. Pray and talk to them and talk to the Lord that the Lord will increase your faith. All the doubt that made us Lord not to be able to pray about those things, and we think it is only the doctors, we think it is only in the hands of the immigration officers, we think it is only what the doctors have said or what the immigration officer has said or what anybody has said that is the final thing. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray, take away all those faithlessness, all those doubt, increase our faith in you and in your power, in your authority, in your strength, and in the possibilities in your name. In the name of Jesus, pray and talk to the Lord. Oh God, increase my faith. Increase my faith in you. Increase my faith in your word. Increase my faith in your name. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Brethren, we are going to pray. We'll be taught prayer and fasting. It's one of those things that we need to do. And our pastor has explained it already, that these days, you know, it's almost difficult for some to engage in fasting and prayer. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord, that the Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will strengthen us. That the Lord will restore us back to those days of fasting and prayer, waiting upon the name of the Lord. Pray and talk to the Lord. Pray and talk to the Lord. That gives us authority. That gives us power. Lord Jesus, we are praying. The grace to wait on you. The grace to wait on you. Lord God, give unto us. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Now is the time to exercise your authority. To exercise your authority and to use the power that the Lord has given to us. The Bible says, we're told about the exceeding greatness of his power to us what that believe. The Lord has given you power, has given me power and a moral right against all obstacles, challenges, sickness, diseases, forces of evil, demonic power, name whatever. We want to begin to pray now and use that power and legal right, the authority that God has given to us. Open your mouth and begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Picture those things in your life that are not supposed to be there. Because the Lord has given you authority. Take authority. Begin to pray and say, Lord, I take authority over the sickness in my body. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the sickness in my family. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus. You are rebuked in the name of Jesus. Begin to take authority. Take authority. Take authority. That is a legal right you have. The Lord has given you the right. He says, I have given unto you power. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. First, he exposed us. He gave us an insight into what he has given to us, power. And then he gave us the moral right over all those things. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. He said, I have given unto you power to tread upon serpent and upon scorpion and over all the powers of the enemy. Let's begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Anywhere the devil is operating in my life, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. I bind you and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Anywhere the devil is operating in my family, I take authority over you. I bind you. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Anywhere Satan is operating in our career, I take authority over you. I bind you. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Anywhere the devil is operating in our spiritual life, I take authority over you. I bind you. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Brother, sister, take authority. Take authority. Take authority. Authority is given unto you. You have a moral right. You have a legal right over every challenges, over every problem, over every sickness, over every evil, over every attack, over the works of the enemy. You pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Exercise authority over that thing. What is that thing that pains you? What is that thing breaking you down? What is that thing limiting you? What is that thing pulling you back? What is that thing making you not to be what God wants you to be? Begin to exercise authority. Oh God, Jesus, we pray today. By the name of Jesus, we take authority over every challenge, every delay, all the works of the devil in our life, in our body, in our soul, in our spirit, in our family, in our home, in our church, in love of our children. We take authority over them. We put a stop to every oppression of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, begin to take authority. If you want to stand up, stand up. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to lie down, lie down. If you want to kneel, kneel. Begin to take authority. Make sure you are not keeping quiet. Power is in your mouth. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray today. The Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, everything should bow. That is authority. That is power. Call upon the name of the Lord. I call the name of Jesus over every evil name. Every name, every writing, every word, every contrary word spoken against our lives, spoken against our bodies, spoken against our soul, spoken against our spirit, spoken against our family, spoken against our career. Every word that's not from God be cancelled in the name of Jesus. We use the name of Jesus over every power. Power in the air, power in the sky, power under the head, forces of evil, principalities, powers, witchcraft, forces of darkness over our land. We take authority over you. You are bound in the name of Jesus. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Take authority. Take authority. That challenge in the family. Take authority. That challenge in your spiritual life. Maybe you notice that you have never been able to live 1 week righteous. You have never been able to live a whole day righteous. And it's like everything is all up and down, up and down, up and down. And now you are doubting, is this even real? And devil is playing with your mind, playing with your heart, playing with you, you know, playing with your head. And it looks like, you know, you are now believing that maybe righteousness is not possible. Begin to take authority. I will not live a sinner life. I will not live the life of a sinner. I will live the life of a child of God. I will live a holy life. I am going to heaven. I'm not the candidate of hell. Every power making me to do what I never intend to do. Every power controlling my will. Every power controlling my mind. Every power controlling my thought. Every power controlling my reasoning. Every power controlling my thinking. Power controlling my emotion. Power controlling my appetite. Making me to go astray. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you have confessed your sin several times, but you cannot stop this smoking. You are not able to stop this drinking. And that is the power tying you down. Take authority. You are not a child of hell. You are not a candidate for hell. You are a candidate for the kingdom of God. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord. I take authority over every power that is ruling, that is reigning, that is controlling, that is putting me under captivity and bondage. I take authority over you. In the name of Jesus, I am released. I am loosed. I am set free. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. We cannot stop the prayer here, but brethren, I encourage you, take this message, pray more about it. And God bless us as we do that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank and appreciate you for exposing to us the mystery of power and authority that the believers have. Father, we thank you for the power you have given to us. We thank you for the authority you are giving to us. Lord, be glorified in the name of Jesus. Today, oh God, we exercise this power and authority over anything contrary, anything that is not in line with your word, anything that is not in line with your purpose, anything that is not in line with your will in our lives. We exercise authority over them and will put an end to those things in Jesus' name. Only the things you have said, only the things you have spoken, only the promises of your word will come to pass in our lives in Jesus' name. As we pray more on this, O God, Lord, answer our prayers. For a pastor you have used for us, we pray for more strength, power, anointing released upon him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because you have answered our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. If you are there, brethren, could you unmute your mic and say amen.
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 God bless you, brethren.